Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most important teachings of the Catholic Church is one of the most difficult teachings we are asked to believe, that Jesus is really physically present in the bread and wine consecrated by the priest during the Holy Mass. In fact, even some priests through the ages have struggled with this Catholic belief. But God recognizes that many of us need help to believe, and from time to time has provided for us clear proof, miracles, to help us with our faith in the real presence of His Son in the Eucharist. Some of these miracles have happened long ago. Some have happened in recent times. One of these is a Eucharistic miracle that took place in 1996 in a church in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in the diocese of Auxiliary Bishop Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who would become our current Pope Francis. This is what happened. At 7 o'clock on the evening of August 18, 1996, Father Alejandro Pezet was saying Holy Mass at St. Mary Catholic Church in the center of Buenos Aires. As he was finishing distributing Holy Communion, a woman came up to tell him that she had found a discarded host at the back of the church. Someone had dropped it and had not wished to consume the dirty host. Father Alejandro went and retrieved the unconsumed Eucharist. As is the practice in these situations, he placed it in a container of water and put it away in the tabernacle to sit so that it could dissolve. Father Alejandro knew that in several days the Eucharist would dissolve and he would be able to respectfully dispose of it by watering a plant with the water. On Monday, August 26, upon opening the tabernacle, Pezet saw to his amazement that the host had not dissolved, but rather it had turned into a bloody substance. He informed Auxiliary Bishop Jorge Bergoglio, who gave instructions that the host be professionally photographed. The photos were taken on September 6. They clearly show that the host, which had become a fragment of bloodied flesh, had grown significantly in size. For several years, the host remained in the tabernacle, the whole affair being kept a strict secret. Since the host suffered no visible decomposition, the now Archbishop Bergoglio decided to have it scientifically analyzed. On October 5, 1999, in the presence of the Archbishop's representatives, Professor Dr. Ricardo Castagnon, a neuropsychophysiologist, was given permission to take a sample of the bloody fragment for testing, and he brought it to New York for analysis. Since he did not wish to prejudice the study, he purposely did not inform the team of scientists of where the sample came from. One of these scientists was Dr. Frederick Zugaba, the well-known cardiologist and forensic pathologist. Zugaba determined that the analyzed substance was real flesh and blood containing human DNA. As he looked down at his microscope, he said, "I can tell you exactly what this is. This flesh is part of the muscle of the heart found in the wall of the left ventricle. It's the muscle that gives the heart its beat and the body its life. I can see infiltrated through this tissue white blood cells. And that tells me two things, that this heart was alive at the moment that this sample was taken, because white blood cells die outside of a living organism. And also, these white blood cells go to address injury, so this heart has suffered. This is the sort of thing I see in patients that have been beaten about the chest." two Australians, journalist Mike Willacy and lawyer Ron Tesorero, involved in the investigations, also witnessed these tests. Knowing where the sample had come from, they were dumbfounded by Dr. Zugaba's testimony. Mike Willacy asked the scientist how long the white blood cells would have remained alive if they had come from a piece of human tissue which had been kept in water. They would have ceased to exist in a matter of minutes, Dr. Zugaba replied. The journalist then told the doctor that the source of the sample had first been kept in ordinary water for a month, and then for another 3 years in a container of distilled water. Only then had the sample been taken for analysis. Dr. Zugaba was at a loss to account for this fact. There was no way of explaining it scientifically, he stated. Only then did Mike Willacy inform Dr. Zugaba that the analyzed sample came from a consecrated host, white, unleavened bread, that had mysteriously turned into bloody human flesh. Amazed by this information, Dr. Zugaba replied, "How and why a consecrated host would change its character and become living human flesh and blood will remain an inexplicable mystery to science, a mystery totally beyond her competence." Then Dr. Ricardo Castagnon arranged to have the lab reports from the Buenos Aires miracle compared to the lab reports on a relic from a similar miracle that took place in Lanciano, Italy over 1,200 years ago, again without revealing the origin of the test samples. The experts making the comparison concluded that the two lab reports must have originated from test samples obtained from the same person. They further reported that both samples revealed an AB positive blood type. They are all characteristic of a man who was born and lived in the Middle East region. How can the events of the miracle of Buenos Aires be explained? Only faith in the extraordinary action of a God provides the reasonable answer. Faith in a God who wants to make us aware that He is truly present in the mystery of the Eucharist. As a result of his investigation of this and other miracles, Dr. Ricardo Castagnon, who was a staunch atheist much of his life, converted to Catholicism. Whenever you receive communion, may the miracle of Buenos Aires help to remind you of the awesome miracle and sacrifice of Christ in the Eucharist. Allow Him to nourish you with His presence.
Praise be Jesus Christ. There are reports of a possible new Eucharistic miracle in Mexico. I'll read you from an article, a Catholic News Agency article by David Ramos, July 27th. This is straight out of the Mexico City newsroom. The caption is, "A new Eucharistic miracle in Mexico?" A video circulating on social media shows what appears to be a Eucharistic miracle. A consecrated host exposed for adoration by the faithful seems to beat like a heart. And in one of the commentaries, I heard that doctors have observed it and said, yeah, that corresponds to the typical rhythm of a beating heart, a palpitating heart. Goes on to say, this happened on July 23rd at Our Lady of the Holy Rosary Parish near Guadalajara in Mexico, state of Jalisco. Okay, there's all kinds of details. I'm just going to read some highlights. The priest who was part of this is Argentine priest Father Carlos Spahn, founder and superior of the religious family of the Immaculate Heart and Divine Mercy. So, founder of a religious community, we might be dealing with a holy man here, certainly a man dedicated to God, who is currently ministering in Mexico. He led the Eucharistic adoration service. The phenomena occurred after Mass was over. He said, "We exposed the Blessed Sacrament. I said the prayers for the exposition. And when I got up to go to the sacristy, this began to happen." And some people took recordings. It says these recordings were made by people who quickly took out their cell phones, filmed it, and passed it on to the priest almost immediately, since the priest asked them for the material, so they won't alter it or anything. So did you catch that? The Eucharistic host begins to palpitate. People take out their phones, record it, show it to the priest, and the priest says, give me those immediately. Then people can't say, oh, well, it was just, you know, people altered it later. Well, no, it happened. The videos were witnessed by Father Spahn. So I attest, Father Spahn says, so I attest to this authenticity from the exact moment. And it says that this Eucharistic host that was palpitating like a heart lasted 20 or 30 seconds at most, which, when a miracle is happening, is actually a long time, 20 or 30 seconds. Okay, goes on to say, Father Spahn said that, now listen to this, this could be an interpretation inspired by the Holy Spirit with a certain prophetic authority. The priest, Father Spahn, said that as a personal interpretation, he sees in what happened the heart of Christ, which beats for love for men. This heart, he lamented, is so outraged, so abandoned, so despised, that sometimes we don't treat him as we should, with greater care, with more faith, with more dedication. Amen to that. Beautiful. And then the priest goes on to say, I'm not saying it's a miracle officially because I don't have the authorization to do so. And the article goes on to explain how cautious and careful the church is and approach the church takes with matters like this. Hours before what happened in the Mexican parish, the priest had a blessed picture frame with a photo of Blessed Carlo Acutis. Are you all familiar with him? Who had a deep devotion to Eucharistic miracles and used the internet to make them better known. The photo, he said, was sealed with glass, but that night, the photo began to ooze oil. I'm simply saying that without making any judgments about it. And there's more details in the article. I'll give a link to the article in the description below. If someone could include a link for the video of this Eucharistic miracle, I think it's on Twitter and other things. I'm not on Twitter, so if you could include that link, that would be great too. And I want to read to you Mark chapter 16. It says, but they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. Viva Cristo!
Are you there, Don?
Yes, I'm taken by what the last word was, that the Lord worked with the apostles and the church and accompanied their work, showing evidence of it. And I think exactly that's what we are doing. That's exactly what we are doing. From A to Z.
Okay. When do you want me to start this powerful novena to Jesus and the Most Holy Eucharist?
Right now.
Oh, okay. The Catholic Defender, by the way, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, world, no matter where in the world you are, you're tuned into the Catholic Defender. Today we have a powerful novena to Jesus and the Most Holy Eucharist. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, in the Most Holy Eucharist, I thank you for the gift of your most precious body and blood, present in the form of bread and wine. This precious and priceless food you have made available out of your abundant and deep love for me. I thank you once more for the gift of your most precious body and blood available to quench my eternal hunger and thirst. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge your real and full presence in the Most Holy Eucharist. I worship and adore you, my God and my King, in the most holy Eucharist. Lord Jesus, in the most holy Eucharist, help me to have a great and deep longing, respect, and reverence for you. I pray with all my heart that all men will come to respect, worship, and adore you in the Holy Eucharist. I pray for a change of heart and a deep conversion of all those who despise, reject, mock, and refuse to believe and appreciate your presence in the Holy Eucharist, Lord Jesus Christ. I apologize for all the times I have received your body and blood in a sinful state without considering the great pain I cause you. I console you for the countless abuses and desecrations done to your precious body and blood in the Holy Eucharist in the various ways and forms. Lord Jesus, I console your wounded heart present in the Holy Eucharist with all sincerity and love. I beg you to forgive my sins and those of the world in which they have committed and are still grievously committed against you. Forgive me for the times I have efforts to receive you in the Holy Eucharist. Give me the grace to love you more and to more longing for you in my heart and soul, and let me always find my rest in you. Lord Jesus, in the Holy Eucharist, I consecrate my body, soul, and spirit to you without reserving or withholding them. In the same way you gave yourself freely in the Holy Eucharist, I give you myself and everything that has to do with me, my entire will, pleasure, ambitions, plans, marriage, family, work, wealth, children, destiny, and all my life. Please accept my offering to you this day and seal it with the powerful sacrifice of your most precious body and blood in the Holy Eucharist. May I live for you alone from today henceforth, and may I seek your will, glory, and happiness in all that I do. Amen. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those suffering in addictions, and for those in bondage, for those in deliverance. We pray for the Catholic Church, for Pope Francis and all the clergy. Day 8, St. Catherine of Siena Novena. The St. Catherine of Siena Novena, Heavenly Father, your glory is in your saints. We praise you. We glorify you in the life of this venerable St. Catherine of Siena, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. Her whole life was a noble sacrifice inspired by the ardent love of Jesus, your unblemished man. And in troubled times, she strenuously upheld the rights of his beloved spouse, the Church. Father, honor her merits and hear her prayers for each of us. Help us to pass unscathed through the corruption of this world. Help us always to see in the vicar of Christ an anchor in the storms of life and a beacon of light to the harbor of your love in this day, this dark night of your times and men's souls. Grant also to each of us our special petition. We ask this through Jesus, your Son, in the bond of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. Wednesday of the third week of Easter. Reading 1, Acts 8, 1b to 8. And I believe we have a musical interlude. Another beautiful song. Acts 8, 1b through 8. There broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women, and he handed them over for imprisonment. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to sit in the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip. When they heard it, they saw the signs he was doing for unclean spirits. Crying out in a loud voice came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Responsorial psalm, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God all the earth, sing praises to his name, to the glory of his name, proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth worship and sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. John 6:40, everyone who believes in the Son has eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day, says the Lord. The Gospel, John 6:35. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I shall not lose anything of what he gave me, but I shall raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. Now we come to our saint of the day, Saint Pedro de San Jose Betancur.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today.
Our saint of the day is Saint Pedro de San Jose Betancur. Betancur was born in Villaflor on the island of Tenerife in 1626, one of five children. As a small child, he worked as a shepherd, caring for his family's small flock, the only source of income, but also spending some time praying in a small cave. Central America claimed its first saint with the canonization of Pedro de San Jose Betancur. Known as the Saint Francis of the Americas, Pedro de Betancur is the first saint to have worked and died in Guatemala. Pedro very much wanted to become a priest, but God had other plans for the young man, being born into a poor family in Tenerife from the Canary Islands. Pedro was a shepherd until age 24 when he began to make his way to Guatemala, hoping to connect with relative engaged in government service there. By the time he reached Savannah, he was out of money. After working there to earn more, he got to Guatemala City the following year. When he arrived, he was so destitute that he joined the breadline that the Franciscans had established. Soon Pedro enrolled in the local Jesuit college in the hopes of studying for the priesthood. No matter how hard he tried, however, he could not master the material he withdrew from school. In 1655, he joined the secular Franciscan order. 3 years later, he opened a hospital for the convalescent poor, a shelter for the homeless, and a school for the poor soon followed. Not wanting to neglect the rich of Guatemala City, Pedro began walking through their part of the town, ringing a bell and inviting them to repent. As a penance each night, he went out to carry a heavy cross through the streets. Peter later found a congregation for the care of the poor, the Bethlehemite brothers and sisters, deeply devoted to the Christ child, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the relief of souls in purgatory. Peter was promoter of the Franciscan Rosary, the Seven Joys of Mary, and instituted a weekly rosary procession in Guatemala City. He died on April 25th of 1667. Other men came to share in Pedro's work. Out of this group came a Bethlehemite congregation which won people approval after Pedro's death. A Bethlehemite sisters community similarly founded after Pedro's death was inspired by his life of prayer and compassion. He is sometimes credited with originating the Christmas Eve procession in which people representing Mary and Joseph seek a long night's lodging from their neighbors. The custom soon spread to Mexico and other Central American countries. Pedro died in 1667 and was canonized by Pope John Paul II in Guatemala City on July 30, 2002. Calling the new saint an outstanding example of Christian mercy, the Holy Father noted that Saint Pedro practiced many mercy heroically with the lowest and the most deprived. Speaking to the estimated 500,000 Guatemalans in attendance, the Holy Father spoke of the social ills that plague the country today and the need for change. Let us think of the children and the young people who are homeless or deprived of an education, of abandoned women with their many needs, of the hordes of social outcasts who live in the cities, of the victims of organized crime, of prostitution, of drugs, and of the sick who are neglected, and the elderly who live in loneliness, he said during his homily and during the three-hour liturgy. Deeply devoted to the Christ child, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the relief of the souls in purgatory, Peter was a promoter of the Franciscan's Rosary of the Seven Joys of Mary, and instituted a weekly rosary procession in Guatemala City. He died on April 25th, 1667. The liturgical feast of St. Pedro de San Jose Betancur is celebrated on April 25th. The healing of a child with intestinal lymphoma was taken by the Catholic Church as the miracle required for his canonization. The circumstances occurred. This child was precisely a native Betancourt's native locality, Villaflor. Betancourt was known to work miracles also, some of them including healing sick people in under an hour, after also getting notes from deceased family members and by setting rocks out and letting the members arrange them over time. He was beatified on June 22, 1980, and canonized July 30, 2002 by Pope John Paul II. At the homily read by Pope John Paul in Guatemala City on July 30, 2002, Betancourt was called the first Tenerifean and Guatemalan saint. Among other facets of his life, in defense of the Immaculate Conception stands out two centuries before the declaration of said dogma, of his devotion to the souls of purgatory and his penances. That's our saint of the day.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
And they'll certainly bless. They won't bite you, but they'll bless you. Our saint of the day.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much.
Oh, anytime.
All right. I'll go ahead, and we'll end with this.
Yeah, They're going to, the other thing I told you about, they're going to edit some video. So I may be doing some voiceover in about roughly a couple of weeks.
That's excellent. That is excellent. Oh, and by the way, something I just found. It's just as a note that many videos on YouTube are under copyright and have not been licensed under any open license. And so I've never found anything or used anything.
Well, I think what we have to do when we're investigating these miracles, these Eucharistic miracles. I'm not saying they didn't happen. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we have a higher standard. We have a higher standard than YouTube does, and almost anybody else, because people come to us for deeper truth. They don't come to us to hear the latest rumor. Some of these are going to be rumors. Some of these are going to be, and there's all kinds of reasons why people want to spread these things around, even though they may be false. Because all that does is bring tourism to their town, and tourism brings money. That's what the whole thing's all about. So we have to have a higher standard when we investigate these things.
Mike, that's another strong reason why the bishop of the diocese where these events
Yeah, happen, we get the bishop of the diocese or somebody else. But hopefully this cable will fix my phone patch, and we can do phone interviews with these people.
Okay, so with that, we will go ahead and end this today. I thought it went well. There was no dead space, thank God. And
I lost the audio about halfway through. I did get it back though. I've got this plugged in loosely. Because I'm using the patch to listen to your audio. Because other than that, I'm sitting here deaf, dumb, and blind.
Well, you did fantastic.
Okay. Well, we got through.
We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okie doke.
So, I'll end this today with this song. God bless you, Mike.
Hey, same to you.
And all you out there in deeper truth land. God bless.
You bet.
And good day.
1, 2, 3. We're ready? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Shepherd, he laid down his life for his sheep. So out of many nations, he's gathered one fold in one faith. And he has built his church on the rock foundation of faith, on apostles and prophets who shepherd the people in his place.
There is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, and one God and Father of all. There is one church, one body, one life in the Spirit now given so freely to all.
And to all of the 12,
the keys of the kingdom, so darkness would never prevail. But some of the shepherds have pastured themselves on their sheep, so he has come out against them and scattered his people of faith. But there still is one faith, one hope, and one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one church, one body, one life in the Spirit now given so freely to all.
Soon. I hope to. God bless.